Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Hello, I'm Jesse. I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 1st. Potholes keep city officials busy. City of Midland reports Wednesday, nearly 10,000 potholes filled through October. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The city of Midland appears on track to fill the fewest potholes since 2016, according to statistics from the city and Reporter Telegram archives. The city reported Wednesday that 9,913 potholes were filled through the month of October. Even if the city fills 2,000 potholes during each of the last 2 months, which would be the most of any month this year, the yearly total would be smallest of the last 6 years. The city and Reporter Telegram records show a range of 14,038 and 17,048 potholes filled during the years between 2017 and 2021. What is guaranteed is that the number of potholes filled in city streets will top 10,000 for a sixth straight year and the seventh time in 8 years. What also was apparent was the impact of 3 months of rain, including 4.06 inches in August. Between January and July, the city reported filling an average of 715 potholes a month. The monthly average from August to October was 1,636. The most of any month came in October, 1,953. The deterioration of roads in Midland has been a problem that goes back decades. However, it was around 2015 when the city became more aggressive in filling potholes. In 2014, the total the city filled was 5,921. In 2015, that number increased to 14,801. It was during the middle of the last decade that the Midland City Council boosted the amount spent on road maintenance to $10 million or more a year, an expenditure that continues during this fiscal year. In 2017, Midland voters also approved a $100 million road bond that went toward fixing 26 city roads. As of this week, 20 of the 26 projects had been completed. Construction continues in 5 of the remaining 6, according to city officials. Contact the city about a pothole. Pothole Hotline requests street maintenance, 432-685-7293, 7:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. Online, www.midlandtexas.gov/223/streets-traffic. Potholes by year. A look back at the number of potholes fixed in Midland going back to 2013. 2021, 16,273. 2020, 14,038. 2019, 15,802. 2018, 15,722. 2017, 17,048. 2016, 8,880. 2015, 14,801. 2014, 5,921. 2013, 3,075. Source, City of Midland and Reporter Telegram Archives. Potholes by month. A look at the number of potholes fixed by month in 2022 by the City of Midland. January, 748. February, 687. March, 553. April, 830. May, 963. June, 577. July 653, August 1653, September 1302, October 1953. Total through 10 months, 9,913. Source, City of Midland. Median rent, close to $1,000. Two-bedroom rents, the lowest of major metros in Texas. The story was written by Stuart Doreen. The median rent of a two-bedroom apartment in Midland continues to flirt with the $1,000 a month, according to apartmentlist.com. The online apartment finder show the median two-bedroom rent in Midland is $994 in its December National Rent Report. Apartment List also showed the median one-bedroom rent in Midland to be $793. The median rents in Odessa were $670 a month for a one-bedroom apartment and $882 for a two-bedroom apartment. Midland and Odessa recorded the lowest or among the lowest rents in the region. Odessa had the lowest median rents of the larger metropolitan areas. Abilene showed a lower median one-bedroom rent than Midland. The two-bedroom rents in Odessa and Midland were the lowest of larger metropolitan areas in the state, according to the National Rent Report. Apartment List also showed yearly rent increases in Odessa and Midland were the highest in the region and among the highest in the state. Year-over-year rents increased 24.1% in Odessa and 15% in Midland. Ranges across the region were 3.1% to 7.3%. The website reported ranges of 3.9% to 8.3% in the largest cities in the state. The report showed Apartment List's national rent index has increased by a total of 4.7% from January to November. At this time last year, rents across the nation were growing nearly four times as fast, with an increase of 18% through November. December 2022 Rent Report. Midland, month over month, 0.1% decrease. Year over year, 15% increase. One bedroom median, $793. Two bedroom median, $994. Odessa, month over month, 1.1% increase. Year over year, 24.1% increase. One bedroom median, $670. Two bedroom median, $882. Two-bedroom median. Region. Odessa, $882. Midland, $994. Abilene, $1,005. Lubbock, $1,010. San Angelo, $1,042. El Paso, $1,128. State. Houston, $1,282. San Antonio, $1,304, Fort Worth, $1,323, Dallas, $1,453, Austin, $1,805. Others. The Woodlands, $1,565, Frisco, $2,122, Flower Mound, $2,243. Source. ApartmentList.com. Pigs take center stage during Piggin' in the Permian. Event provides valuable space for young livestock exhibitors. The story was written by Morgan Taylor Thomas. You know the National Dog Show that airs every Thanksgiving right after the Macy's Parade? Well, Midland produces the same event except replace the dogs with 100-pound pigs and the fancy-dressed dog owners with West Texas kids. I'm just kidding. Well, kinda. 19 years ago, Clore Gilbert created Piggin' in the Permian for young livestock exhibitors to run through pig leading before the big county show in January. Once a small get-together, Pagan and the Permian now brings in more than 300 swine ready to strut their stuff. Quote, "With 4-H, you have to be 8 years old or in the third grade," head organizer Stephanie Mitchell explained. "Jackpot is basically just like a practice show, so you don't have to be a certain age," end quote. Although a Midland native, Mitchell didn't get involved in shows until she moved back home from Dallas, trading her city shoes for boots and falling in love with a pig farmer. Now she travels nearly every weekend supporting her daughter and family-bred pigs. However, for Mitchell, participating in Pagan in the Permian doesn't fall to personal gain. Besides the life lessons taught to kids through raising livestock, Mitchell finds joy in providing a space for all Midlanders to feel included, important, and valued. Quote, "Some kids in FFA who enjoy showing, their parents may not have this kind of agricultural background or can't spend the money. Other kids in Midland County, whose parents are heavily involved in this, will spend thousands," Mitchell said. "We just want to help these kids out and give them a leg up or experience they might not get. It's so exciting because you actually get to see the kids get excited," end quote. The show. The 2022 Pagan in the Permian event includes two shows at the Horseshoe Arena. Spots cost $35 per head or $40 day of show both days. The first on Friday, also called Ladies' Night Out, remains gelts only. The eight-breed format for the show include Duroc, reddish-brown and golden-yellow, large-framed median-length, muscular, partially drooping ears, Berkshire, black with white on the snout, lower legs, and tip of tail, DOPB, WOPB, Hampshire, erect ears, black body, white band around the middle, covering the front legs, Yorkshire, classic pink, light cross and dark cross. Judging the lot will be Tommy Bishop, and the grand champion will receive $500, a buckle, banner, and cap, while the reserve champion will receive $300, a buckle, banner, and cap. Those who place in the top five also will receive cash. The pigs start walking at 6 p.m. On Saturday, the cash show stands as the big hitter with an 11-breed format. Judging the all-day affair is Seth Keplinger. The grand champion will receive $1,500, a buckle, banner, and other prizes, while the reserve champion earns $1,000, a buckle, banner, and prizes. The top five in each class also will win cash. However, before the hogs rattle the crowd, the showmanship contest fills the ring. Divided into peewee, junior, intermediate, and senior age divisions, exhibitors ranging from 4 years old to 18 will show off their control and knowledge, not only of their own swine, but of other competitors as well, 10 a.m. start time. Furthermore, because Pagan in the Permian is a learning event, fun additions such as smoke machines and music add to the experience, making the nights enjoyable not only for the participants, but fans, friends, and family sitting in the stands as well. For more information on the show, such as how to register or reserve a trailer spot, email paganinthepermian@gmail.com. Pig Show Lingo. Breed Champion. Each breed is divided by weight class. The winner from each weight class then all enter the ring at the same time for a breed drive. The winner of the drive, no matter if they're the biggest or smallest piggy out there, becomes the breed champion. Grand Champion. All of the breed champions enter the ring together, the winner being crowned Grand Champion. Weight Cards. These have to be turned in before the show, so officials can decide what class to place your piggy in. However, did you know, if the show you're competing in has a 10-pound weigh back, and you try to play the numbers game and lie about your pig's weight in order to become the biggest pig in a smaller weight class, you could be disqualified? The 10-pound weigh back allows contestants to have 10 pounds of grace on either side of the scale before disqualification.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 1st, 2022. Three things to do in Midland this weekend, December 1st through 3rd, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Explore new sounds. Edgewood native Dylan Wheeler takes the tailgate stage for what's sure to be an exciting performance of independent Texas country music mixed with subtle rock notes and an East Texas twang. After going viral in 2017 for his cover of classic 90s tune Strawberry Wine, Wheeler quit his oil and gas industry job in 2019 and pursued music full-time. Now he's one of the fastest rising young stars in the scene and backs that title with killer hits and an authentic personality. For this 18 and up rain or shine event, tickets cost $15 for general admission or $20 day of show. Round table, entry for 8 people, $200. Rectangle table, entry for 8 people, $250. Couch sectional, entry for 6 people, $250. Buy tickets at https://bit.ly/3u9wez4. Food trucks will be on site and lawn chairs are not permitted. Friday, doors open at 6 p.m., 4401 North Big Spring. Kick off Christmas shopping. Rooster's Backyard presents Brunch, Bubbles, and Boutiques, a Christmas shopping event with an array of activities. The 12 vendors include Midland Mat Company, Claudia Designs, Sweet 3 Boutique, Park Lane Jewelry, Stacks Permanent Jewelry, Purple Blossom Boutique, Thirsty Bird Company, Sadie Mack Children's Boutique, Zia, Sensi, Vino Fresco, and Crazy Clucking Company. Beyond vendors, patrons can expect a free hot chocolate bar, yummy bites, a kids' craft table, and more. Free pictures with Santa run from 1 to 4 p.m. Admission is $5 for ages 10 and up. www.facebook.com/roostersbackyard. 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday at 6221 FM 307. Light up the night. 6 years running, this holiday season nighttime event comes packed with festive energy and bundled up participants. Hosted by the Midland Athletic Company, the run supports junior achievement, the world's largest organization focused on educating K through 12 students about work readiness, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship through experiential hands-on programs. Junior Achievement of the Permian Basin rings in 60 years at the finish line. To learn more about Junior Achievement of the Permian Basin, visit www.permianbasin.ja.org. Participants can choose between Santa's Elves 1.5K or a 5K. Starting at Scarber Elementary School, the route winds through the Best of Midland's Christmas light display found in the Grassland Estates West. Both races include a race bib, customizable ornament from Miss Casey's Wonderland, and post-run refreshments. 1.5K patrons receive a finisher gift, while 5Kers get a finisher medal. Water stations can be found at the start and finish, as well as the 2-mile point on the 5K and turnaround spot on the 1.5K. Want to make it a family affair? No worries. Strollers and leashed dogs are welcome. Festive outfits highly encouraged. The 1.5K starts at 8:45 p.m. and the 5K, the 1.5K starts at 5:45 p.m. and the 5K at 6:30 p.m. Packet pickup runs from 4:45 p.m. to 5:45 p.m. on race day. However, packets will also be available from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Friday at 3326 North Midkiff and 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday at 1012 Andrews Highway. To register for the run, visit www.midlandathleticcompany.com. 4:45 p.m. Saturday at 2115 Hereford Boulevard. Community Roundup. Midland College Holiday Evening. The Midland College Holiday Evening will take place Thursday at the Allison Fine Arts Building. The event will include visits with Santa, 4 to 7 p.m., servings of Frito Pie, 5:30 to 7 p.m., a student art show and reception, 6:30 to 8 p.m., and a free concert from the Shap Singers and Jazz Ensemble, 7:30 p.m. Midland Storytelling Festival. The 31st Annual Midland Storytelling Festival will take place Thursday through Saturday. The event will feature virtual and in-person performances from 8 master storytellers from across the country. Visiting performers will provide programs for students throughout the Midland community on Education Connection Day, Friday. This includes Midland College, MISD students, Midland's private and charter schools, Greenwood ISD, Bynum School, and homeschool students. There will also be a special program provided for Manor Park Retirement Community. The public is invited to come out Saturday for performances for children and adults at 10 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. at Bush Convention Center. The festive finale is scheduled for 7 p.m. Admission is free. For additional information, go to the Midland Storytelling Festival Facebook page. The website at http://www.midlandstorytellingfestival.org or call 432-685-3876. Santa Visits. The Santa Photo Experience, presented by Simon, will be open through Christmas Eve at Midland Park Mall. Hours are 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Saturday and noon to 6 p.m. Sundays. Other Santa events at Midland Park Mall include Breakfast with Santa from 9 to 10 a.m. December 10th. Caring Santa. Caring Santa is a photo experience exclusively for children with special needs. The event is set for 9 to 10:30 a.m. Sunday at Midland Park Mall. The event will occur prior to the mall opening for a more quiet and private photo opportunity. Reservations are required. Go to https://midlandparkmallcaringsantaphoto2022.splashthat.com/. Casa de Amigos of Midland presents the Festival of Trees. Casa de Amigos presents the 8th Annual Festival of Trees Saturday at the Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch, 2503 Loop 250 Frontage Road. The event will take place from 4 to 6 p.m. and feature UTPB mariachi and holiday crafts. Festival of Trees is a community event open to all. Online, www.casadeamigosmidland.org, www.facebook.com/casadeamigosmidland. What's up with Midland? At Cafe at the Gardens, December Market, Saturday. At Centennial Park, Christmas tree lighting, December 6th. Christmas Parade, December 10th. At the Doubletree by Hilton Hotel, Christmas Wine and Paint, Friday. At the Horseshoe Arena, Piggin' in the Permian, Friday and Saturday. Gingerbread Haven, December 6th. Permian Basin, Comic Con, X, Holiday Edition, December 9th through 11th. West Texas Shopping Expo, December 10th. At Little Woodrow's, Let's Get Lit Friday. Midland Athletic Company, Jingle Bell Run, Saturday. At Midland Community Theater, A Christmas Carol, Saturday and Sunday, December 9th through 11th and 16th through 18th. At the Museum of the Southwest, Midland Downtown Farmers Market, December 17th. Christmas at the Mansion, Thursday through the 10th. President's Club Preview Dinner, Thursday. Nutcracker Brunch, members only, Saturday. Christmas Luncheon, December 5th. Rain Beer 11, December 7th. Holiday Tea, December 9th. Christmas Open House at the Mansion, December 10th. At Rooster's Backyard, Brunch, Bubbles, and Boutiques, Saturday. At the Tailgate, Dylan Wheeler, 18 and up, Friday. At the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, La Posadas, Thursday. Sounds of the Season, Pops and Family Series, Symphony, Saturday. Little Feet, Waiting for Columbus, 45th Anniversary Tour, December 5th. The Nutcracker, presented by the Midland Festival Ballet, December 10th and 11th. Mariachi, Sol de Mexico de José Hernández, A Mariachi Christmas, December 14th. Nate Bargatz, The Rain Check Tour, December 15th. The Illusionists, Magic of the Holidays, December 19th. Lone Star Brass, December 20th. Pippa Pig Live, Pippa Pig's Adventure, December 27th. And Nutcracker, Magical Christmas Ballet, December 30th. Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Thursday, December 1st, 2022. Continuing on Section A. Preview, Holiday Art Crawl. Midland AF Art Crawl to host final date for season, by Morgan Taylor Thomas. The last Midland AF Art Crawl for the 2022 season takes place from 6 to 9 p.m. Friday across the Tall City. The holiday crawl encompasses 7 local establishments packed with good cheer, unique festivities, and of course plenty of art from 30 homegrown creators. To RSVP to the event, visit https://bit.ly/ 3AZWA8G. Wondering what each hotspot entails? The Reporter-Telegram worked with Midland AF founder Stacy Livingston to bring you the scoop on the beloved event. Soon here, you'll find each crawling location along with planned activities, specials, and resident artists. To see examples of what each artist will bring, follow the Art Crawl on Instagram at Midland Art Crawl. For more information, visit https://bit.ly/3VB1WJJ. At the Hand Cafe, 5000 Briarwood, Suite 105. Activities and specials. Visits with Santa. Live music, interactive art experience, $2 Tall City Brewing Company beers and frosé, food and drinks for purchase, and door prizes. Artists Sherry Thomas, Carlson Neville, Cheryl Rausch, Ellen Choate, Sue Roberson. Miscellaneous, family-friendly as well as dog-friendly. The Fafa Gallery, 438 Andrews Highway. Activities and specials. Adult hot chocolate bar, complimentary food and drinks. On-site gallery. Artists, Jeremy Mitchell, Krista Gieseman, Callie Reynolds, Trey Thompson, and Liz Bartlett Culp. Miscellaneous, family friendly. At the Blue Door, 4610 North Garfield, Suite D1. Activities and specials. Holiday cocktails, food available for purchase, and on-site gallery. Artists, Adria Aguilar, Megan Bias, and Elizabeth Schwope. Miscellaneous, dog-friendly, and 21 only. At Eccentric Brewing Company, 1402 Cotton Flat Road. Activities and specials. Croak and Toads for live music. Christmas beer flights. Beer and seltzer for purchase. Chilaquiles y Mas food truck. Artists. Lorraine Gomez. Renee Thomas. Jamie Ale. And Scott Lunson. Miscellaneous. Dog friendly. Texas Sun Winery, 3415 North Loop 250 West, Suite 305. Activities and specials, live music, wine flights, wine tasting, food and drink for purchase. Artists, Jennifer O'Reilly, Madison Clements, Rebecca Condor, and Jenny Malenko. At Velvet Mesquite, 3211 West Wadley, Suite 23. Activities and specials, complimentary food and drinks, hot chocolate bar, BYO Christmas bouquet, in-store specials. Artists, Kayla Barker, Cardian Williams, Agapita Garcia, and Lauren Estes. Miscellaneous, family-friendly. At Midland Yoga Works, 4610 North Garfield, Suite B11. Activities and specials, holiday jazz for live music, hot chocolate and s'mores bar, origami station, retail boutique, on-site aerial yoga. Artists, Mary Lambeth, Emily Daw, Rachel Ramirez, Edgar E. Armendariz, and Connie Lee. Miscellaneous, family friendly. Raising Cane's opens second Midland location by Morgan Taylor Thomas. Raising Cane's celebrated the grand opening of franchise number 669 Wednesday morning with pep talks, photo ops, chants, and more. Both the Midland Chamber of Commerce and Hispanic Chamber of Commerce presented the restaurant with certificates and plaques and conducted ribbon-cutting ceremonies. Raising Cane's officials also presented the shop with Cane's traditions, such as the staff-signed hard hat and lucky cricket. The new location can be found at 3314 West Loop 250 North and runs from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m. Monday through Sunday. Even though the fried chicken joint already hired 150 local crew members, they're still looking for more. Applications can be found at www.raisingcanes.com.
Here are some obituaries that appeared in the Midland Reporter-Telegram on Thursday, December 1st. Betty Jean Scoggin, age 87, passed away on Sunday, November 20th, in Lubbock. She was born on March 12, 1935, in Bristow, Oklahoma, to Lawrence and Bertha Ann Chestnut Mills. Betty married Robert Scoggin on November 27, 1959, in Kermit, Texas, and they shared 58 years together until his passing in 2017. Betty moved to Kermit at the age of 9 and became a lifelong resident. She was the valedictorian of the Kermit High School class of 1953. Betty was a founding member of the Spencer Theater in Alto, New Mexico, and a member of numerous country clubs and bridge clubs. Betty is survived by her daughter, Susan Scoggin Gallagher, and husband Brent of Midland, and grandson Michael Robert Gallagher of Lubbock, Texas. She was preceded in death by her husband, Robert Scoggin, parents, Lawrence and Bertha Mills. A funeral service will be held on Thursday, December 1st at 2 p.m. at Family Services Funeral Chapel in Kermit, officiated by Ed Simmons. Burial will follow at Kermit Cemetery. In lieu of flowers, please send donations to the American Diabetes Association, St. Jude's, or a charity of choice. Arrangements are entrusted to Family Services Funeral Parlor. Condolences may be sent to the family online at www.fs-fp.com. Pula Mae Hamby McLaughlin of Midland passed away on November 27th, just 26 days shy of her 100th birthday. Miss May began her life on December 22, 1922, in Fort Worth, Texas, born to Albert Moten and Belvia Lockwood Woody Hamby as one of their 10 children. She moved with their family to Amarillo, where they attended public schools. May married Irving Lee McLaughlin on November 7, 1940, in Jal, New Mexico, and began a 40-year journey with him as he worked for El Paso Natural Gas Company. May is survived by sons Gary Lee McLaughlin, Sr., wife Kitty, of Platteville, Colorado, and Billy Don McLaughlin, wife Dottie, of Midland, 13 grandchildren, 13 great-grandchildren, 16 great-great-grandchildren, one niece and nephews. She is predeceased by her husband and daughter Patsy Jo Forget, husband Richard of Holland, Ohio. A graveside celebration service will be held December 5th at 3 p.m. at Rest Haven Memorial Park, Midland, Texas. In lieu of flowers, please make memorials to Temple Baptist Church, 4301 Thomason Drive, Midland, 79703. Arrangements are entrusted to American Heritage Funeral Home. Forrest Riggs, born February 16, 1922, passed away on November 17. He was born and raised on the family farm in Yoakum, Texas, to parents Ethel May and Elihu Riggs. He began working for the Borden Company in Corpus Christi in 1947 and worked his way up to office manager. He met Janice Tillerson at Borden's, and they married in 1954. They were married until her unexpected passing. He was transferred to Midland in 1969 and after 35 years with Wardens, he retired in 1981. Forrest met Peggy Bradley at a concert they attended. Peggy asked him out for coffee, and before long, they fell in love and married on February 14, 1981. In 1982, he and Peggy bought Midland Package Delivery Service. They owned and operated the business until they retired in 1993. Forrest is preceded in death by his parents, grandparents, brother Raymond, and sister Eulalie, and daughter Vicki Williams. He is survived by daughters Vaughn Bradley and Valerie Piper, as well as several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Visitation will be held Friday, December 2nd, at Ellis Funeral Home from 6 to 8 p.m. The Celebration of Life service will be held Saturday, December 3rd, at 1 p.m. at Ellis Funeral Home Chapel, with a reception to follow. In lieu of flowers, donations in Forrest's name can be made to St. Paul United Methodist Church or a charity of your choice. Miss Velma Jean Jackson, age 71 of Midland, passed away on November 21st. She was born June 18, 1951, to the late Sammy Hunt II and Vernell Jolly Hunt in Big Spring, Texas. Velma made a lifelong career in the child care industry. Left to cherish her memory are her sons, Derek Turner of Midland, Courtney Turner of Midland, brothers Sammy Hunt III of Oceanside, California, Randall Hunt of Cedar Hill, Texas, Alan Hunt of Glava, Sweden, and Cornell Hunt of Midland, a host of grandchildren as well as five great-grandchildren. The family will receive friends on Thursday, December 1st, at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Funeral service will take place on Friday, December 2nd at the Northside Church of Christ at 11 a.m. Minister Rodney Taylor will officiate. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home. Online condolences may be received at www.asanchezTFH.com. Eugene Thomas Baker, also known as Gene Baker, age 79 of Odessa, died Monday, November 28th in Odessa. Memorial service will be held at 3 p.m. Friday, December 2nd at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. L.D. Woodruff, age 73 of Midland, passed away on Thursday, November 24th. Viewing will be Friday, December 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m., with a receiving of friends from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday evening at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home. A funeral service is set for Saturday, December 3rd, at 10 a.m. at Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Chapel. Arrangements were made with Llewellyn Garcia Pipkin Funeral Home and Chapel. Family messages and condolences may be emailed to pipkin@nts-online.net, or you can visit the website at llewellyngarciapipkinfh.com. Lonzo L.B. Booker Taylor Jr., age 96 of Midland, passed away November 29th. The memorial service is pending with Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Teresa Ramos, age 72 of Midland, passed away November 29th. Funeral service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 3rd at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home Chapel, with interment following at Serenity Memorial Gardens Cemetery. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Thomasine Gotcher, age 92 of Midland, passed away on Tuesday, November 29th. A service will be held at 10 a.m. Saturday, December 3rd at Mid-City's Neely Campus Church. Arrangements are by Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Thursday, December 1st. Determined kids find ways to leave campus. 14-year-old stabbed during lunch on Monday. Ector County ISD juniors and seniors are allowed to leave campus for lunch, but some students who shouldn't leave find a way. At about 1:12 p.m. Monday, the Odessa Police Department responded to Medical Center Hospital in reference to a knife victim. The investigation revealed that after an altercation occurred in the 1900 block of East 42nd Street, a 14-year-old male sustained non-life-threatening injuries from a stab wound. According to a Facebook post, there were no reports of other injuries. Repeated calls to the Odessa Police Department were not returned Wednesday for information on the stabbing. Anyone with information regarding this incident is encouraged to contact OPD at 432-333-3461 or Odessa Crime Stoppers at 432-333-TIPS. And reference case number 22-0017552. Mike Atkins, Chief Communications Officer for ECISD, said Odessa and Permian High School freshmen and sophomores should not be off campus. Both schools have almost 4,000 students. The unfortunate truth is they do skip sometimes. If they are intent on doing that, they often find ways to do it, and they know how to go about it, Atkins said. The schools are diligent about watching those areas, and there are schedules where teachers, administrators, and staff members are watching to see if students appear to be leaving from an area where they're not supposed to. Both schools have 4 ECISD police officers each, and the schools are large and have many entrances and exits. Freshmen and sophomores that are seen leaving are asked why and where they're going. There are also monitors in the parking lots. But Atkins said those are difficult to cover and they don't have the manpower to do it. The hallways are swept as well once classes have started. The unfortunate truth is kids, when they're determined to get off campus, they find a way to get off campus, Atkins said. There are more than 2,000 juniors and seniors that can go to Subway, Burger King, and Taco Villa during lunch as they are near Permian. The same number can leave OHS. Students should be wearing their badges at all times where you can see them and identify the student quickly, he said. When students are found to be skipping school, parents are contacted to find out why, and the expectation that they need to be in school is set. Asked about closing the high school campuses during lunch, Atkins said it's been discussed, but students don't want it and some parents resist also. He added that it has been brought up in the past and it wouldn't surprise him if it's brought up in the future. Logistically, it would be difficult for the cafeterias at OHS and PHS to handle the number of students if they were not allowed to leave. They're old buildings that are very big and added onto over the years. It's a difficult task to monitor the kids as they come and go between classes. It's a struggle, Atkins said. New Y Learning Center principal finds niche. With long experience in the pre-kindergarten and elementary level, Sandy Canova felt ready to take on the role of principal at the Odessa Y Learning Center. In partnership with Ector County ISD, the Y offers education for 193-year-old pre-kindergarten students. I have taught pre-K 3 to 5 with Head Start. I did teach 2nd and 3rd grade also for ECISD, so I do have some teaching experience, Canova said. Canova went to Odessa College and took some courses at University of Texas, Permian Basin. She earned a bachelor's degree in education studies through Ashford University in San Diego. A native of Pecos, Canova finished her junior high and high school years in Odessa. Kinava always wanted to go into education. She played school with cousins and friends. I always knew this was what I wanted to do. I didn't see myself as a principal. I saw myself as a teacher, and I've done that. So who knows, maybe it will transition back to that again. But for the meantime, I'm really happy with where I am, Kinava said. Having been principal since August, Kinava said she likes the YMCA's program because it's a little bit different. It's not just all ECISD, but it also incorporates a lot of the Y as well. So I like that it's a little bit different. I'm learning a lot, and I did bring in some of my knowledge from prior experiences, Kinava said. She noted that her teaching experience, particularly the pre-K, has helped a lot. I'm able to know a lot about the kids that are here. I'm able to help a lot of the teachers and guide them where they're needed based on experience and knowledge. The teaching part has been helpful also because I know a lot of the ECISD aspect, Kinava said. The YMCA still has more space. Kinava said they would like to fill 80 more spots, if possible, by the end of the school year. She added that they should have 10 teachers and 10 teacher aides. There are openings. Each classroom gets 15 students per session. Kinava said it sometimes goes over a little bit, but they try to stay to 15 to 16 students per session. Enrollment is year-round, and students have to be 3 years old before September 1st, just like ECISD requires. There is a morning and afternoon session and transition rooms for child care for working parents. The morning session ends at 11 a.m. and the afternoon at 3 p.m. Child care is offered between the morning and afternoon sessions and after the afternoon session until 6 p.m. It is a separate cost from the ECISD tuition unless they qualify, but we do have that availability for the working parents or parents that don't fit the 3-hour schedule for our school, Kinava said. If parents don't need childcare, there are some eligibility criteria that they have to fall into to get free tuition. Kinava said once people find out about the pre-K 3 program, word of mouth travels fast. A lot of times we do have people that come in and say that they don't know about our program or school, and friends or family have told them about us, and they come in, they even try to enroll, Kinava said. She added that the program is only for 3-year-olds, so if parents try to enroll 4-year-olds, they are directed to the correct school. Kinava said they have biweekly meets with ECISD. We have guidance from them, questions answered, updates, but they've been very, very helpful, she added. Kinava's go-to person, if she has questions, is Director of Early Childhood Education, Beatrice Mata. We have someone also in the curriculum part that really comes in and helps us also. Her name is Natalie. We have another one for bilingual, so there's always someone we can reach out to when we need any assistance, guidance, help, information, Kinava said. Although she has only been at the Y for 3 months, she noted that she has seen a difference in the students. At the beginning, it is a transition period for the kids to get adjusted to our schedule and our routine, Kinava said. There is some separation anxiety because the students are very young. A lot of them that struggled coming in are really coming in now, walking in, and they go directly to their classroom. Teachers are waiting at their door, but they walk directly to their room and they know how to get there. No more issues like we had at the beginning, so that is very nice. I've seen that growth, Kinava said. They've learned to recognize their names, how to help each other, how to take turns, share social skills, and to use gentle hands, knowing the difference between being aggressive and being gentle, being nice. Being with kids for so long, it just takes a lot of patience because they do come around. They learn a lot. They're very quick learners, and they do pick up a lot from what they see happening in the classrooms from other friends, so it's very helpful for them, Kinava said. For the future, Kinava would like to have all the teaching staff in place so that classrooms are running at all times, have children there for a full year, and get the word out a little bit more so that enrollment increases. We are very excited to have Sandy Canova lead the charge at the Odessa Y, Mata said. Her knowledge in educational routines and processes has allowed her to start the year off with a strong footing as she strives to put the best interest of her students first. We are looking forward to our continued partnership with the Odessa Y and are excited to see the continued growth of our pre-K community toward kindergarten readiness. Together, Canava and her husband Joel have 5 children, a granddaughter and a grandson on the way.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.